Welcome to season 5 of the Book Marketing Action Podcast. We're back with another season of exciting guests, real conversations, and actionable insights for you to help reach the biggest possible audience for your work. We're here to share guidance on marketing and all other aspects of your author journey while exploring everything you need to be successful in sharing your important work with the world. I'm Becky Robinson, your host on this journey. I'm also the founder and CEO of Weaving Influence and the author of Reach, Create the Biggest Possible Audience for Your Message, Book, or Cause. Thanks for choosing to learn with me, and I hope you take action as a result of our conversations. You can find the show notes in the episode description and make sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for continued book marketing learning opportunities. I'm ready. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Book Marketing Action Podcast. I'm your host, Becky Robinson, and it's pretty fun today because I get to be with my friend, Becky Antkowiak. If you're watching this on video, you're going to see that she has blue hair. So she said some people who have trouble saying her name will call her Becky Blue. I've always called her the other Becky because when we met, that's what she called herself. So welcome, Becky. It is so good to be with you today.
I'm so excited we get to hang out.
It is going to be so fun. And this is not the last time we're going to hang out. Later this year, we get to hang out in person.
I can't wait.
You have to listen to the whole episode, folks, so that you can find out about how to meet both Beckys in person this summer, the summer of 2024. Too bad if you're listening after that. But if you're listening before, you have the chance to hang out with the two of us. So Becky, before we dive into our conversation, will you take a few moments to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and about the work that you do in the world?
Sure. So I write, I speak, I edit, all of that freelance and for fun. I'm also a Compassion International advocate. And so that's actually why my hair is blue. 2 years ago, I dyed it for a fundraiser. And for every $100 we raised, I dyed an inch of my hair blue. We raised over $3,000 and I dyed all of my hair blue and I've kept it blue since. So if anybody's interested in looking that up, you can see a picture of the really long blue hair at compassion.com/goblue. I am an enthusiastic grammar floozy. I love grammar and all things writing. I have been a lifelong serial extrovert. Recently, my aunt asked me if I'd always been this huggy. And apparently when I was little, like as soon as I could walk, I couldn't leave a restaurant without hugging the waitress goodbye. So yes, the answer is yes. And if we meet, just know we're friends forever. And sorry about your luck if that's not what you were hoping for. I'm also the chief encouragement officer of the 540 Writers Community, and that's a free group for writers. We are a 501c3 nonprofit focused on studying crafts, sharpening skills, and sharing encouragement for the writing journey. And then when I'm not writing or hanging out and connecting people, I like to demolish and rebuild and create things with Patrick, my husband. We've been married. It'll be 23 years this February. So I will have officially been married as long as I was alive before being married, which is a little bit weird. But so that's me. Also, yeah. I like binge audiobooks all the time.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. I remember what it was like when I passed that milestone of being married longer than I was alive before being married, and it's been a while. So it just means that you're younger than me. So all right. So today we want to talk about the value of writers being in community with each other and also about the value in writers seeking out conferences. So I have realized in my conversations with authors how writing can be such a lonely journey, particularly if we have big goals and get stuck in pursuing them. So I'm really looking forward to talking about that. But before we talk about writers community, I want to talk first about the benefits of joining a writers conference. I have not attended many conferences myself, but from watching your social, Becky, I know that you have attended a lot. So what's the benefit that you see for writers who choose to connect in person or online at writers events?
So I know you said we were going to talk about the groups later too, but the benefits are sort of the same as far as I'm concerned. But For me personally, and I will say I am a serial extrovert, and I realize I am an anomaly in the writing community. And I found that out the first time I went to a writing conference, and they said, if you are an introvert, raise your hand. And almost every hand went up. And then they said, if you're an extrovert, stand up. And there were like five of us. So I do understand that. But my biggest reason for going to conferences is connecting with people. Personally, but there are a number of reasons that conferences are really good for any writer. And I wasn't sure if you wanted me to go into all of those now or just
I would love to
generally.
hear what are some
Okay.
of the reasons you recommend that writers attend conferences?
So, some of the benefits of attending a conference, first of all, are the camaraderie, finding people who get you. That feeling is just amazing. Learning the culture of the publishing industry is really important if you want to survive and thrive in the writing journey, particularly if you're hoping to be published. Finding connection with individuals at the conference and being able to find coaching. And you hear the word cohort often used in these groups where they want you to pay to join, but I kind of see a cohort as your small group, your people that you find, and they're kind of like your writing BFFs. And then the ability to continue writing is something that will be important as you continue your journey. I don't know if these stats are exactly correct. Stats do vary, but according to the Google, 97 out of 100 people who begin a book never finish. So 3% of writers who actually start a book actually finish it, and somewhere around 20%. And again, this is, Googled, quickly Googled stats. So if you have other stats, that's fine, are actually published. So with those numbers, if 500 writers begin a book, 15 will finish their final draft of 500, and three of those 500 will be published traditionally. So that's kind of crazy when you really think about it.
That really is. Why do you think that might be, Becky?
A lot of it is being able to stick to it and just continue writing. So we can dive into why some of those benefits of attending the conference can help us, but really all of those conference and writing group benefits are what helps keep us in the seat. If we don't have a reason and the motivation to stay writing, it's really easy to let other things just slide in, even if, this book is important. I feel like this is a message I should get out. But man, that series on Netflix is just so good. I'm gonna go binge that instead. It's easy to get distracted, and particularly in our time now, where everything is available on a phone or a screen.
So it sounds like accountability and encouragement to keep going is a big part of the process.
Yes.
So I'm curious, Becky, to talk about how, some authors may view other authors as competition rather than a help to them. So what are the best ways that you've seen that authors can learn from each other to be able to help reach their goals?
So this goes back to that whole camaraderie aspect of the conference. I have heard horror stories about writing conferences where people throw each other under the metaphorical bus to get a publishing contract. I am happy to report that I have never seen this happen. I've mentioned before, and someone once said, well, that's because you hang out in the Christian writers community. And I really don't think that's it. I've been involved with lots of non-religious conferences as well, and everyone has always been wonderful. I think it's wise to ask friends for recommendations about which conferences to attend because there are unfortunately some out there that aren't apparently very nice. But overall, I think if it's a well-known conference, I don't think you can go wrong. It's kind of like one of my friends' kids was starting high school and they were really worried, that their child was going to end up doing drugs or whatever. And I said, you got a really good kid. And if they look for people like them, with similar interests, and, she doesn't strike me as one who's going to go for, the, hey, let's go smoke behind the school building type of a kid, I think you're okay. And it's the same with a writer's group, if you, or with a conference, if you go and you are looking for or expecting nastiness, you probably can find it. But if you go expecting the best and just assuming that everyone has the best intentions, I think that's what you're going to find as well.
That's super helpful. And as you're saying that, I'm remembering that I've attended two writers' conferences in recent years. One was the Northern Colorado Writers Association event, and the other was a West Virginia Writers Association event. And I only saw positive, encouraging interactions among the authors at those two events. So,
And the great thing is, especially when it comes to a writer's group, I mean, once you're at a conference, you're kind of stuck there. But with a writer's group, if you find it's not encouraging and supportive, just leave and find something else because there are tons out there.
Now, what would you recommend as a way that someone could find a writer's group or a writer's conference to attend?
Well, so first of all, you can Google, obviously. That really is a great way to find conferences because there are a bunch of people out there who have compiled lists on their blogs. And so if you find a list and then you go read about the person who compiled the list, generally you can get a good feel for, is this person, involved in the writing community? Do they really know what they're talking about? Are they making recommendations or are they just giving you a list? And so I would say checking people's blogs and other that will list those conferences, and some will have recommendations, some won't. But if you see one conference listed over and over where people are like, man, that was great, that's usually a very good sign. You can talk to other people in your writing group because often there will be at least one person who's been to a writing conference. Check in your local area. So I live in Richmond, and the James River Writers Conference is fantastic. It's a local conference here, but people travel from other states to attend it because it is so good. So there's lots of options. And then there's also the if you happen to be looking for a Christian conference, the Christian Writers Market Guide for 2023, it's your comprehensive resource for getting published, put out by Steve Lobby. And that is a great resource. They have an online resource as well, and they list writers groups and writers conferences and things like that. So if that happens to be what you're looking for, that's a great resource.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk for a moment about the community, the nonprofit that you founded, 540 Writers Community. Tell me a little bit, Becky, about what led you to start the group and what you were hoping to achieve.
So I attended a conference that it's been years since this happened. I think that conferences now do a much better job. But back then, this particular conference had about 700 attendees, and I just saw one main demographic. And in that sea of faces, found just one table of African American women. And there were a couple of other people like scattered throughout, one gal in a wheelchair, one mom with an infant. Like there were very few individuals in that particular setting. Outside of the main demographic, and it kind of irritated me. I was like, this doesn't seem like it's right. And so I went and asked if I could speak with each one of them, asked, why they felt that there weren't more people who were different from the main demographic there. And some of the things that I heard were, if you look at their advertising, it's all very aimed at one particular demographic. And one gal pointed out, she said, you happen to be white. So if you got a mailer in your mailbox and all the faces for this particular writing conference mailer happened to be African American or something that wasn't white, would you look at that and immediately go, hey, I feel invited? And, it's interesting to think about it when we flip it. And so, so that was something that was important for people to feel like they are invited. And those ladies were really funny. They were like, we're veterans. We don't care. We go where we want. But their point was many younger writers who are a lot less confident, or aren't as experienced might not attend because they might not assume that they are invited. The gal with the wheelchair talked about how difficult it was for her to navigate. She had to leave classes early because if she didn't, she'd get stuck in a sea of behinds, basically. She's trying to get through hundreds of people and she's only so high. And so she would miss portions of classes because of leaving early and getting there late and things like that. And then there was a mom with an infant, and she said, you know, they really didn't want me to come because they don't really want an infant here. And she and I both, like, it's understandable. It's a professional conference. We're not trying to have a bunch of kids running around, but she had just had the baby. The baby came early, and she's like, I wanted to be here, and I paid all the money, so I'm here. But they didn't, you know, nobody was mean to her, but they didn't make it like, hey, we are welcoming you to be here. And later I talked with friends who are on the autism spectrum, individuals who have financial difficulties, people in that sandwich generation caring for both elderly relatives and young children. All of those individuals would either have difficulty attending because of logistics or because of finances or because they didn't see themselves reflected in the advertising and they weren't sure they would be welcome. So that's when the idea sort of sparked. And honestly, I really didn't want to do it myself. I was like, I don't finish anything. You know, I kind of had a little conversation with God about it because I was kind of feeling that poke, like, you should do this. And I was like, you know, have you seen my track record? I don't finish things. I'm not your girl. So I kept looking for other resources that I could just pass along to people. And finally, I gave in and said, okay, I'll do this. So we started with five people, and I really didn't expect it to blow up the way it did. I thought we were all going to just be on an email loop, and we were going to encourage each other and just, you know, be very welcoming and encouraging, and that was going to be it. And then the group started to grow, and then somebody said, let's have a Facebook group. And I said, I'm not good at social media, but if you want, I'll start it as long as I can, you know, get some help. And I did, and they did. And so then a few weeks later, somebody said, you know, it'd be really cool if we could meet on Zoom. And so we started doing that. And at some point, someone suggested we do it like regularly. And so I told them, I was like, you know, I'm a little ADHD. So if it's a monthly meeting, I will likely miss it because I'll never be able to remember. So if we're going to do this, it's going to have to be every week. If you're willing to do that, I will do it. And they said yes. I was shocked. I thought that was going to be like, no, thanks. So for the last almost 3 years now, we have met weekly every Thursday on Zoom. And about 6 months into having the meetings, we started inviting other speakers to come. And so now, most weeks, we have an expert who donates their time to come teach people who might not otherwise be able to access it. And it's really cool because we have a couple of people who are blind and a couple of people on the spectrum and some people in wheelchairs, you know, people that I know for a fact would have a really difficult time, or a more difficult time, maybe I should say, than the average person attending a conference. They can access the same level of that just stellar education for free. And that was the goal. And now we're up to about 1,300 people in the group. And, you know, I don't know. We have people like John Booker come teach. It's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. So tell me, what's the secret behind growing and sustaining this community of authors?
I honestly don't know what the secret is because I feel like I've just been able to be a part of it. I just feel like, I don't know if you remember the line from the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the newer one with Johnny Depp, but there's this point when he looks at Charlie and he's like, you're just happy to be here, aren't you? And that's kind of how I feel. I'm just really happy to be a part of it. I just do whatever people say, hey, this is something we'd like to do. So, like, for instance, this past year, some of our members said, we want to have a contest. So we put together a contest and we had 54 entries for our first time, which, you know, to a bigger contest might not sound like a lot, but for us, it was just unbelievable. It's like, whoa, this is really crazy. And now we're working on an anthology because somebody else said, I think we should do this. And so it's just, I have a lot of people who have volunteered their time and their effort and they have stayed committed. And honestly, I think, I don't know if it's really a secret, but if it is a secret, that's it. Like, just the people who are so willing to help do this and so dedicated to making sure that people who would not otherwise be able to access it can. It's just been amazing.
As an author and seasoned book marketing expert, I know the struggles and frustrations that come from launching a book into market. Where do you start? Which channels should you be on? How can you best engage the right audience? How do you stand out among the noise? Fortunately, we've got you covered. To alleviate these stressors, my team at Weaving Influence and I recently launched the Book Marketing Strategy Live course. Through this 6-hour cohort-based small group training, you'll learn the ins and outs of book marketing and gain access to our learning of over a decade of helping authors launch their books into the world. And you'll do this in a supportive community of like-minded authors. Ultimately, you'll discover how to most effectively leverage your time, energy, and money to launch your book into the world with momentum. Plus, with your course purchase, you'll receive a toolkit of resources, including guides, timelines, and templates to ensure you're thoroughly supported as you start the execution phase of your book marketing journey. Are you ready to get started? We offer a new course every 6 to 8 weeks, and you can find upcoming course dates and reserve your seat at weavinginfluence.com. I can't wait to see you at the live course.
Well, it's so inspiring to hear about the way that you're bringing people together. And what I haven't been able to not notice in this conversation, Becky, is how so many of your ideas come back to the letter C. And I wish you would walk us through the C's that you outlined in various parts of our conversation so that everyone who's listening can remember the benefits of participating with community and conferences and what you see. So okay. Do you want to dive into those for us?
Sure. I would love to. Yes. I am a definite word nerd and grammar floozy. So I do love the alliteration. So camaraderie, finding those people who get you. You know, a lot of us have non-writers in our lives who are very supportive. I am definitely not minimizing that. In fact, had a conversation recently with somebody who was a little bit upset because she was like, well, my husband won't read my writing and I feel like he's not supporting me. And I was like, hold on, let's talk about all the things that he does to make it possible for you to be able to do what you do. And, you know, just because he's not reading it doesn't mean he's not supportive. And so I think it is very important to recognize those people and understand that just because somebody doesn't read our writing does not make them not supportive. But it is also really nice to find people who speak your language. You know, I have friends who are very mathy. I say often, I am a writer, I'm an editor, I am not a mather. I don't do math. So it's fun for me to listen to them get super excited about integers, and I don't even know what the other words they're saying half the time are, but they're so excited when they get together to talk about it. And that's kind of how it is at a writer's conference. It's like going to, you know, right now, it's like we live in a country filled with people who don't speak our language, and then you hear your language across a crowded room, you're going to immediately go find that person and say, let's have a chat because we understand each other. And that's what you find in a conference. At my very first conference, I heard someone say penultimate, just in casual conversation. Nobody blinked. They kept talking. And I'm not saying you have to be a writer to have a fantastic vocab. And actually, readers have even better vocabularies usually. But we do tend to have a different style from people who aren't writers or readers. And so it just feels like home when you get together with other people who understand what's going on. The other thing that I love about a writer's conference is when you say, oh yeah, I'm a writer. Nobody says, well, what have you written? And when's it going to be finished? And they see you again a couple of days later and they're like, is it finished yet? You know, I actually stop telling people I'm a writer. I say I'm an editor because nobody asks me about that. They don't care. But, you know, at a writer's conference or in a writer's group, they understand that a book can take years to write and publish. So it's refreshing to be with other people who understand that. So again, camaraderie would be that first C.
I love it.
Culture. The culture of publishing is something that I honestly didn't really consider before attending conferences. And it's important because the publishing industry really expects certain things from us as writers, and readers expect certain things. And if you are a writer, you probably are also a reader, and you expect certain things from the people who are writing the books that you read. And so whether you pursue traditional publishing or whether you self-publish, writing conferences and writing groups are great places to learn what's expected. For instance, publishers will expect a book proposal. And I didn't know that before the first time I went to a conference. Sometimes they want a one sheet. And if you don't know what that is, it's important to find out. Publishers and agents often list their expectations on their websites. So if you are going to pitch, it's important to follow those guidelines. But learning about that kind of thing is very typical at a conference.
Or probably in a writer's group like yours.
Yes, exactly. And you have a writing group too on LinkedIn, right?
We have a community of like authors and readers. Nice. The Weaving Influence community on LinkedIn. Yes.
Very cool. So speaking of pitching at a conference, you will make connection, which is our next C. You meet agents, you meet publishers, and these are people you would not probably otherwise have personal contact with. Agents and publishers often give priority to people that they meet at a conference, because if you're at a conference, to them that says, I am serious about my writing career. I have invested in my learning. I'm really serious about this. Now, just because you don't go to a conference doesn't mean you're not serious. But when you are there, that's really what the publishers and agents who are attending, that's what they see. So they're interested in hearing about your book because, hey, you're here, you want to learn, then you're kind of the type of writer I'd like to talk to. When you make those connections, don't stalk them later. Like I stalked Becky Robinson after I read her book. but when you talk with them, often there will be times that you can have meetings with agents or editors at a conference. And so, if they tell you to send them something, send it. I don't remember the exact number, but I believe it's 8 out of 10. Several of my friends who are in that publisher agent world said I believe it's 8 out of 10. Don't ever send the thing we've asked for. And they're like, we're really interested, and they just don't send it. And, you know, I don't know if that's because as a group writers, we tend to be really hard on ourselves and we're like, oh, they didn't really mean it. You know, or it's not good enough yet. I have to make it better or whatever. Just send the darn thing. If the publisher says they want your book proposal after looking at one sheet and, you know, it's not done, tell them, you know, hey, it's not complete yet. When would you like it by? And if they say 6 weeks, try to get it done in 5. They're not going to expect you to send something to them the day after the conference. In fact, they don't want you to send them something the day after the conference because they're not going to look at it. I would give them probably a week if you have something ready to send. But even if you have it ready, take a look at what you've learned at the conference and make sure that you have done any tweaking you need to do before you send it, because they'll see that as well. And they're like, hey, they attended the conference. They listened to what I said. They, you know, I can see that they've implemented what they learned. Now I'm really interested in this author. And you'll also meet and connect with other writers who can give you advice or leads or resources. I have found some of my very best learning resources recommended by another writer. Many of the books that I own, I bought them after listening to someone talk at a writer's conference about how much they learned or how much they loved the book.
That is such great advice. And I think something that, you know, if you haven't gotten too far on your author journey, there are a lot of things you might not know about publishing. So what an amazing thing to learn it all at once at a conference.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of learning all at once, so coaching is our next C. And the description attendees, I have heard this over and over, attendees describing conferences as drinking water from a fire hose. I truly believe 3 days standing in that fire hose of information is worth months of learning on our own. The level of education at a good conference can just catapult you to the next level. So it is super important to take advantage of that. When I say coaching, I don't mean necessarily one-on-one, but the learning that you can acquire there. But speaking of one-on-one, some conferences offer writing critiques, and usually you'll have to pay an additional fee for that. But that one-on-one feedback is really worth it. Many times I've talked with other writers who have used the critique, and they're just like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. So it's, and having someone else look at it is really important. And it is worth it to pay for it, because, you know, they're taking their time to help you as well. So they have to make a living. So keep in mind that everybody there is wanting to help you. They have your best interest at heart. And because of that, some of the feedback they give could be a little brutal. Sometimes things are hard to hear, but it's important to have that feedback so that you can move forward. So just take everything with a grain of salt. The other thing to remember is everybody is just a person. I don't know if this is okay to say on here, so if you need to nix it, you can. But my friend Christina and I have this book that we both love. It's a children's book, and it's called Everybody Poops. And it's technically meant for helping to potty train your kids, but it's how we remind each other, like, nobody's really, I mean, everybody's special. Like, nobody's special and everybody's special. So, you know, you might get advice from somebody that you think is way up there on the platform, but it might be the wrong advice for you, and that's okay. So just, you know, always remember that no matter who's giving you advice, take into account, you know, of course, their level of training and their expertise. But if you feel like it's wrong for you, it's okay to not follow that advice too, because nothing can ruin a good book draft faster than having six different people give you their feedback. Because it'll all be different.
Yes.
Conferences and writing groups are really great places to find editors and writing coaches. A writing coach, again, is a paid service, and that is an ongoing relationship with you and your book. So if you're, you know, you haven't even started writing it, or you're really stuck, sometimes you can get a writing coach for a short period of time, or you might have someone help you through the whole book. It just depends. And you would be surprised at how many people use those kinds of resources. And just a side note, many of the people who are really famous didn't write their own book. Okay, so they get help. Conferences and writing groups are just fantastic for finding editors as well. No matter how great your book is, every book needs editing. And if you have ever read a traditionally published book and you have found errors in it, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this went to print, consider this. That book has been through several, if not many, rounds of editing and a proofread. So no book will ever be error-free, but solid editing will make it better. Even professional editors who also write, they have someone else edit their own books, because our brains can't catch our own mistakes. So again, it's a great place to find any of those resources.
I will definitely say that it wasn't until I read my book out loud when I was recording my audiobook that I found more mistakes, and it was too late because the book had already gone to print. So I feel that so much.
Yeah, that's actually a really great editing tip for people who are like, maybe you don't have the resources to hire an editor. Reading it out loud to yourself is a fantastic way to catch mistakes, or having someone else read it out loud is even better.
For sure. So I think there's a couple of more C's that we want to get to before we wrap up the episode.
Yep. So cohort. So my definition of a cohort is your people, a small group of individuals who kind of stick together, encourage each other. There are a number of groups that, and I'm not talking about groups like where they're open to join. I'm talking about groups of my friends that have been friends for years, that have stuck together and encouraged each other and helped each other to the point where they can publish their books. I see it happen all the time. And lots of people know about the Inklings, the group of writers with C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and Dorothy Sayers, and a number of other people. The fact they all went on to be successful writers was no mistake. You know, they stuck together. They had a regular meeting time. They spurred each other on. Many of the successful authors that I know are part of small groups that are very specific to them. They're not groups, again, not groups looking for like more people to join. So when you go to a writing conference, find your people and then, you know, form your own little group and stick with those people and see what happens. Having encouragement from other writers can help you do the most important part of writing, which is the C of continue. And this is our last C here. So we talked about the fact that very few people who start that book will actually finish the draft. Continuing to hone our skills and learn new things is central to our ability to compete in the writing industry. You don't have to attend every conference. You don't have to join every group. In fact, please don't, because there's no way to keep up. But attend when you can, you know, find a conference that's close to you or that fits, you know, what you're looking for. Find a group that works with your schedule that can help keep that continuing education a priority. When you really think about the fact that 3% will be published, the fact that everyone in the Inklings went on to some kind of success, that's even more astounding. And it really speaks to the importance of finding that small group to be with you. The ability to continue writing is, you know, there are many factors that help us keep writing. But in my opinion, the biggest one is not a lack of talent. It's because too many of us quit writing the book we were meant to write. We get distracted, we give up, and, you know, unfortunately, we kind of fall off the writing wagon. And so following the C's will help us stick to the journey. And I will say, just kind of as a final side note, sometimes our books don't need to be published, whether traditionally or self-published. Sometimes they don't need to necessarily be in print. Sometimes we need to finish the book for ourselves, for our own healing, or for our children. You know, if only one person reads your book, is it important? Yes, absolutely. So sometimes our book is only meant for one person, and whoever that is, it's important to finish it. And just to know that success doesn't mean getting published. Success is doing the thing that we are meant to do, and that's finish that book. And whether it's our own hands or someone else's, get it into the hands of the reader that needs it.
That is so encouraging, Becky. And I hope that those of you who are listening are taking in all of this wise advice. And it makes me so excited that we get to be together at a conference this summer. Yes. So at the end of every episode of the Book Marketing Action Podcast, we give people some action steps. So I think the action steps today are so obvious. We want to encourage you to take action to find a group of writers to support you on your journey, whether that's in a group like 540 or whether that's at an upcoming conference. But I encourage you, after you listen to this show, to tap into some group to find the camaraderie that you might need to continue. So we want to tell you about an upcoming event at which you can not only meet me and not only meet the other Becky, but also meet my friend Barb Roos, who's been a multiple.
She's fantastic.
She's been on this podcast at least twice, and I adore her. And she's going to be there too, along with a host of other amazing agents, publishers, authors. I'm hoping that I can convince my friend Stephanie Lansom to show up. Shouting you out, Stephanie. So, Becky, how about if you tell our listeners about how they can get connected in to the Write to Publish conference in Wheaton, Illinois, coming up in June 2024?
So you can join Becky Robinson and Becky Blue at the Write to Publish conference in Wheaton, Illinois, June 11th through 14th. Registration is open now, and their website is Write to Publish, W-R-I-T-E. publish.com. And the cool thing is we also have a coupon code, Write to Publish provided a coupon code that gives attendees $25 off and then sends $20 to the 540 Writers Community Scholarship Fund. So if you are planning to attend, please use code BLUE2024. That will take that $25 off yours. And like I said, send some help to the 540 Writers Community Scholarship Fund. So that will be fantastic.
Amazing. So maybe your action step today is to sign up to be with us at Write to Publish, or maybe your action step is to tap into some type of writer community. Becky, I know you have some really important advice for people who might be choosing self-publishing as their path. So what might be an action step if you're someone who's choosing to self-publish?
If you choose self-publishing, one important thing to remember is you don't want to look self-published. And I know that sounds kind of terrible, but I'm not knocking self-publishing. Some of my friends have done it very well. But if you look at some of the self-published books available on Amazon, you can see it. The cover sometimes looks like somebody threw together images from Pixabay or clip art or their children's artwork. If it's obvious that the cover is not professionally done or that the book wasn't professionally edited, often it seems like self-publishing authors sometimes will just finish their draft and say, it's finished, and they post it full of all kinds of errors. And I'm not knocking anybody who does it, but I think it is important to try to make the book look professional. And there's actually a really good reason for this. If you are able to sell a number of books as a self-published author, and then later you want to traditionally publish, the publisher will look at the number of books that you've sold. So if you can sell it out of the park, or knock it out of the park, selling your books on Amazon's in a self-published format, that's going to be a huge benefit in your favor. If that publisher is looking at those numbers. So it's really important to do your very best and make sure things are done professionally. I don't mean that you have to hire someone to do your cover. If you have Canva skills and you're great, you know, go for it. But just make sure things, you know, look at other books that have been traditionally published and try to mirror those types of styles and that look.
That's really helpful. And I'm just going to take a minute to plug Weaving Influence, my company. We do support authors who are self-publishing with professional support from start to finish, starting at the point when the book has been through a developmental edit and is ready for a copy edit. We take authors from that point through to the publication and distribution of their self-published books. So thank you for setting me up for that.
You are Becky. Welcome. Wasn't intentional, but I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah. So please feel free to contact Weaving Influence if you're looking for support on your self-publishing journey. And we also will put a link to the Weaving Influence community and the 540 writers community into the show notes. We would encourage you to connect with one or more writing groups, author groups, to be able to find support for your journey. Becky, thank you so much for being with me. Do you want to let people know how they can stay in touch with you personally?
Sure. They can reach me at BeckyAntKoviak.com. The website will be in the show notes because Aunt Koviak is not easy to spell. I should probably just get a website, Becky Blue. 540writerscommunity.com. So 540writerscommunity.com. You can reach out there. And the website is actually under construction at the moment because we found out it was not accessible enough for people using assistive tech. So we have a friend who is actually blind and does this for a living. And so he is making it more accessible for us, which I'm so excited about. Thank you, Jack. And then you can also find us on Facebook, 540 Writers Community and Facebook.
Thank you so much for being with me today, Becky. I can't wait to see you in Wheaton in June.
I know. I can't wait.
Thanks for listening to the Book Marketing Action Podcast. If you haven't already, I hope you'll subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for more access to ongoing learning and conversation. If you're new to the show and not sure where to start in exploring our episode archives, see the show notes for a list of my favorite 5 shows as a way to get started. If you need support for your book marketing journey, Weaving Influence is your one-stop shop for digital marketing and PR services. We craft and implement strategies customized to your long-term goals and can support you during every phase of your author journey. Now it's time to take action on what you learned today. Be sure to let us know how you've implemented today's action steps.